Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning once again. As we today start our 7-week Faith in Action series. You know, already the field with meditation has centered us. The wonderful music has uplifted us. And at this moment, your attention is right here and now in the power and the presence and the love of God. Let us affirm that within ourselves. And know that in this presence, whose description is beyond words, there is a completeness that is seeking to express itself in our life. And our task is to allow it to be expressed through and as us as we participate in its unfoldment. And of course, this participation requires our faith. Interesting, this word faith has been tossed around a lot. And for many, faith, simply to have faith in God for many people, that if we have enough faith, God will show up and answer our prayers, solve all problems, meet our needs. If we're good enough, worthy enough, somehow this presence we call God will show up and rescue us from whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. We may have heard, just believe in God. Maybe like yourself, you may have heard yourself say, I wish I had the faith of so-and-so. They seem to have so much faith. And we say that as if some people have more faith than others. But nothing could be further from the truth. Faith is a spiritual faculty. It is whole. It is complete. We have all of it. And all of us have all the faith we will ever have. But here's the question. Where are we going to direct this faith energy? You know, if we direct this power on lack and limitations and problems and how negative things are, and we can easily do that, then that's how we will see the world and it will grow. But if we focus on what's right, what's working, what's good, what's possible, then that's what shows up for us. So we want to keep that in mind as we go through this Faith in Action series. Of course, the theme for this year for Faith in Action is The Universe's Calling, and is based on the book of the same title by Unity Minister Eric Butterworth. And as I thought about that, I thought about the time that I had an office. And in this office, there was a hallway, and they had some plants on the hallway that were right behind a wall. But to the left of the wall, there was a huge window. And I remember one morning I walked by and I saw the plants, you know, kind of sitting on the table behind the wall. And then I came back later on when the sun was bright. And then I noticed that all the plants were kind of leaning toward the sun, trying to somehow answer a call from the sun. And I think those plants in their own way were answering that call from the sun. And I think similarly, we, each of us, are here to answer the call of the universe. And what we're here to do is to open up, and to, when we do to that degree, God's presence begins to rush at that point called you and me so we can express all of its qualities. I think it's particularly so in these uncertain times that we need to call forth these qualities of peace and love and beauty and possibilities as we go through the challenges that we're facing in our world today. I believe this is an urgent call that is now being called to us. And our mission, possible, should we choose to accept it? We don't have to. It's to simply move to that space where we hear the call and answer that call to such a degree that it compels us to do the right actions, to be and to do all the things necessary to anchor ever-expanding good or heaven on earth now. This is what the universe is calling us to do. And of course, one way we do this is through prayer. In Butterworth's book that we're using for this series, he poses this question. What is prayer? Is it a science? Is it a miracle? What is it? Most likely, most of our views of prayer have evolved over time, and you've probably grown in your prayer awareness. And I was thinking that when I was young, I was taught to put my hands together and kneel beside the bed before I went to sleep at night, believing that that was the position for prayer. But maybe someone may have had a fractured bone in their leg, or like me, I broke my hand and I was in a sling and I couldn't clasp my hand. And so maybe, our parent may have said, forget that. You can do your prayers in bed. And then I realized I don't have to kneel to pray or to put my hands together to pray. So I dropped that whole idea. And then maybe you might be saying, well, here I've been praying aloud, now I lay me down to sleep, and you know how the rest goes. But I was asking when I said that, well, is God in the room? Can God hear my words? Or is God beyond the room somewhere in the sky? But if God's in the sky, God's beyond the audible sound of my prayer. So maybe it's just my prayer thoughts that reach God. So maybe we understand the realization that we don't have to pray out loud at all. And then we change our God thought to something like this, that God hears my prayers and I don't even have to make them audible. So you start thinking, does God just hear my thoughts when I turn to this presence I call God in prayer? In other words, when I start thinking prayer thoughts, is that when God of the universe tunes in and listens to me? Or does God hear my thoughts all of the time? It's an interesting thing. If this presence we call God hears my thoughts all of the time, then maybe God answers my thoughts all of the time. Not just the ones that are so-called prayerful, but all my thoughts. Or does God just weed through the general thoughts that I have just to find the prayer thought and say, oh, here's a prayer thought. Let me pluck that one out. I don't know if you have those things go through your mind. I couldn't get answers to those kinds of questions when I went to what we call traditional church. I think our prayer awareness evolves that God does not just tune in when we pray. But maybe God is tuned in all the time, this force, this presence. And maybe all of my thoughts, all of my prayers are always answered. And so with that idea, we're starting to get close to this unity concept, that life is consciousness. Butterworth calls that the religion in three words. We might call it thoughts held in mind, produced after thy kind, because consciousness, which is a sum total of our thoughts and feelings, is what the universe responds to. And we want to pray from that understanding. There's a Sanskrit derivation of the word prayer, and it's called pal-al, which is judging oneself as wondrously made. Charles Filmer, the co-founder of Unity, he called prayer the most powerful transforming technology known to humankind. And he was suggesting that there was some scientific methodology of communion that changes us. In fact, Butterworth makes a note that, as startling as it may sound, God really doesn't make any difference whether we pray or not. It doesn't make any difference to God. But it makes a total difference to us. Because prayer is not about conquering God's reluctance to miraculously come to our rescue and intervene in our affairs. Prayer is about attuning ourselves to God's eternal willingness, which is what prayer is about. There is a science to it, the science of communion that allows us to touch that realm, that non-dual realm, that God presence within us, so that we may be evolved. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about effective prayer. So we may activate this prayer process, but we may ask, how do we do this? You know, I thought of a story of a journalist, and he was assigned to the Jerusalem Bureau of his newspaper. And he got an apartment overlooking the Wailing Wall. And after several weeks, he realized that whenever he looked down at the wall, he saw a mature Jewish man, and he was praying vigorously. The journalist had wondered whether there was maybe a story there, so he, you know, goes down to the wall, and he waits for the man, and then he sees him, introduces himself, and says, you know, you come here every day to the wall. What are you praying for? And the gentleman replied that, what I'm praying for, in the morning I pray for the world to have peace. Then I pray for the brotherhood of man. Then I go home, have a glass of tea, and I come back to the wall and pray for the eradication of illness and disease from the earth. And the journalist was just amazed. He was taken back by the man's sincerity and persistence. And he asked him, and he said, you mean you have been coming to this wall to pray every day for these things? And the elderly gentleman said, yes, in the affirmative. And the journalist then asked him this question. How long have you been coming to the wall to pray for these things? And the man responded that, you know, well, about 20, maybe 25 years. And the journalist, in utter amazement, finally asked him, how does it feel to come and pray every day for over 20 years for these things? How does it feel? And the elderly gentleman replied, it feels like I'm talking to a freaking wall. I say that because we don't want our prayers to feel like we're talking to an unresponsive wall. Rather, we listen to the master teacher, Jesus the Christ, who says in Mark 11:24, that we must pray believing that ye may have, that you may receive. This is the scientific methodology of communion, that we may receive, that we may be transformed. He said, pray believing that they may have. This is to come into in alignment with the unchanging presence that we call God. So we're going back to basics and realize that prayer is not a mere supplication. Prayer is not begging or wailing or gnashing of teeth. It's not pleading or screaming loudly, trying to get God's attention to make God be different. Not at all. It's not about dropping to our knees or hoping and sweating and gyrating and trying to get the universe to shift for us. Real prayer is not any of that. Enlightened prayer is not a supplication. Mature prayer is not a supplication. No. Real prayer, as Jesus indicated, is getting in touch with the awareness that you already have what you are praying for. Pray believing that ye may have, that you may receive. You know, this is what they call be having. I don't know if you have watched these corny movies that came out years ago. I still remember it, called Austin Powers, and he had a series of movies. And he would say something like, yeah, baby. But he also would have the saying that said, oh, behave. He was saying be and have. It is touching a state of being. And in that state of being, you and I realize that we already have everything when we are in that particular state. And that state unfolds as our life. So that we're not trying to change anything outside of us. We're not trying to change the external world. We're not trying to change other people, which so many people feel it's their duty to do. We are touching a state of being through your prayer, through my prayer, through our conviction, through our one-pointedness, through our hungering and thirsting that happens through our study, through being still, through turning within, by going to that inner closet, that inner sanctuary. We are recognizing the presence of God that is everywhere. And ultimately, we touch a state of being, and we believe that we have already. That's what prayer is about. It's about shifting our point of view that we may receive. It's about being available. This is the scientific methodology of prayer. It simply means that we touch that particular state of awareness, we will get results. When we touch that state over and over again, something happens. Oftentimes I talk with people who've had a brilliant manifestation. They would say that prayer has been answered in their life. And they would talk about what happens just before that, just before the manifestation, that suddenly the worry seemed to go away. All the trying to figure out with the rational mind has ceased, and all they're doing is stopped. They're stopped trying to make it happen. They've stopped doing that. And instead, there is an awareness that has taken place. They were in the midst of prayer, and suddenly they knew that all was well, that all was going to be okay. And then they released and they let go. And then it's shortly after that, the demonstration happened. They may have been looking for a job and they suddenly got the job that they wanted from a source they never considered. Maybe the physical body began to operate a little bit better. There was greater clarity in their relationship. There was some kind of insight that happened. And sometimes, mistakenly, they may have thought that those things were the demonstration, those things were the answered prayer, but it was not. The real answered prayer was that moment of clarity, that moment of connection, that moment of sensing and feeling that the power and the presence and the love of God was the activity of their awareness. That was the moment. And when you have that moment, it's not hit and miss. This is based upon a universal principle that this great power that is changeless everywhere can never be compromised. We become in tune with it and we begin to see the manifestation or the answer to our prayer. You know, with that scientific methodology of going into the inner closet and touching that particular state in our life, then our world unfolds in magnificent ways. You know, many of us, maybe if not most of us, somehow have been believing that God was a reluctant benefactor. That God was a reluctant benefactor that somehow had to be convinced to help us out. Some of us may have been taught that you have to plead with God. And some have been taught that you have to please God because, you know, if you don't, something wrong will start to happen. If you displease God, that would get God upset. So when we approach God, when we approach what I call the force, because God sometimes is not a good word for people to use, but it's a force. When we approach the force hesitantly, sometimes we do that because we're careful how we step. Because if we don't do good, and we so-called do bad, then we might be punished. And only when we do good are we rewarded. That's the belief that many have been grown up with. But this is a God made after human beings. You know, there's some people that they may go to a church and, you know, they try to get a blessing from God and they make sure they don't have the wrath of God. And And that may make sense to the surface mind. And then when they look around the world, you know, that seemingly thing that makes sense starts messing up because they get confused. They see all these other people, the ones who never go to any kind of spiritual church, who don't believe in any spirituality. And those people seem to be blessed. Some of them look happy. They got a smile on their face. And here you go, doing all the right things, going through holy heck, and you might not even say heck. But here is where we understand the essence of effective or the science of prayer. The universe hears and reacts to consciousness so that the non-going church person is speaking to the universe in the only way the universe understands it. He or she has presented a developed consciousness. And the universe has no choice but to fill it. When we understand that our prayer work changes, when we understand that, the way that we pray is different. We no longer do we have the belief that we have to have something or someone intervene in our life in a miraculous way for our life to change. We realize true prayer is about being transformed by the renewing of our minds and hearts. We realize that transformation is a choice. And we get to co-create with this infinite present moment by moment, choosing the high road, choosing love, choosing forgiveness, choosing compassion, choosing wisdom, choosing intelligence, choosing peace. As we do this moment by moment, we're choosing transformation in each of those moments because we're purifying the heart and engaging a common union by co-creating with this presence of God itself. I always like to leave at least one transforming strategy. I'll leave you one for prayer today. And that is this. Give up the chronic complaining. If we complain through life, we're looking through life through a glass darkly, and we're not seeing the face of God. Understand, the person that complains never sees the expanding good. Sometimes they feel uncomfortable when things are going really well because that vibration is too high for them. That's why they may move around the different places to find something new to complain about. We want to enter heaven, realizing it's a state of consciousness. And you and I bring it with us and hang out with it wherever we go until that presence clothes itself in our life. Those who do not go to God for God, they sometimes fight and complain, and they become the agent of perpetuating the very thing they do not want because that's the only reality that they know, and they infuse it with more energy because they're afraid what their heart's desire is does not exist. They believe life is hard and then it's over. There are limited opportunities in life. There's not enough to go around. That's a vibration. And that vibration is nothing more than static on the line. And we cannot hear or receive the guidance that the Spirit of the Living God has for us. We may be able to quote all the spiritual phrases. You know, God is good all the time. God is everywhere present. God is for me and not against me. But we may forget when we get in a conversation with our friends, watch the news too much, our core belief will come up, and we'll talk about lack and limitation, and then we'll wonder why all the prayers we've been uttering are not revealing themselves. So let our scientific prayer be our old beliefs undoing, so that the will of God, the vibration of God, the guidance of God can come through us. And when you start doing this, the surface mind will start rumbling a little bit. It'll get a little nervous and say, uh-oh, he's praying again. Oh, she's meditating again. They're zooming that workshop again on YouTube, checking out that lesson again. Let's distract him or her before they remember the truth. But through prayer, You simply say, "Get thee behind me, crazy thought." And you'll eliminate the static that drowns out the voice of the presence, the voice of the force. And you'll eliminate any sense of separation between you and the Spirit of the living God. And when any of us do that, we will celebrate God in spirit and in truth. The only language that God knows, the language that gets our consciousness ready. And when our consciousness is ready, spirit cannot deny us. And in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, each and every prayer is answered in the most magnificent way. And we have an attitude of expectancy, expecting the good of God. And with that expectancy, our prayers are answered. And such is the science of prayer. Peace and blessings to you. Well, before I end the talk, I just want to bring to your attention an affirmation that we will have each week as we go through each lesson for our faith in action. And today's affirmation is this, and it'll be in your booklet if you have your workbook that you can affirm throughout the week. And wherever you are, just say it with me, even if you just say it within your own mind. I am a dynamic, individual expression of the universe. I am open to the activity of God within. Amen.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives.